A big weekend and a big week ahead for the CFLs. We're just around the corner from free agency. And, of course, the Red Blacks have been taking care of business, re-signing free agents. But as of this weekend, they and the other eight teams can start talking to other teams' free agency, the so-called legal tampering period. And joining us to talk about it is Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation. How are you doing this morning, Justin?
Doing well, guys. I don't want to break up the groundhog hamster chipmunk party, though. That's hilarious.
It was a hamster.
Cold, where you are? Where are you, Justin, by the way? Where are you situated?
I'm in Toronto right now. All so right. It's not quite as cold as where you guys are, but minus 20, I think.
All right. I'll segue and say things are heating up in the Canadian Football League. So let me get this straight, so it's just so I'm accurate. As of noon on Sunday, CFL teams are then can start talking to other teams' free agents, and while you officially can't sign them as in a contract, you can come to agreements with other teams' free agents. Is that correct?
That's right. You can start talking, and you can essentially come to agreement. That can't be official until actual free agency when it hits, because there's a couple days after the legal tampering window that the team who has your pending free agent rights can match that offer, and you can talk with them. So that's how this next little bit will play out.
All right. And the actual day of free agency is Valentine's Day, which is a curiosity in and of itself, but it promises to be a very interesting weekend. So before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of the Red Blacks, do you think that starting on Sunday, like, are we going to hear some pretty big names potentially agreeing to contracts and potentially be on the move as soon as Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening?
It's possible. I don't know if we'll hear about it that quickly. I mean, guys, if we're being honest, people are talking right now. You're probably not supposed to say that, right? But people are getting an idea and back-channeling and doing all that kind of thing. So, you know, I think we could start to hear next week that there's stars that have multiple offer situations and some guys that do agree to terms who already know that they're not going to be back with the team that their contract is expiring with. So I think some of that stuff will start to happen as the week plays out.
Behind the scenes, how many agents are involved in such a small league, in essence kind of controlling what's going on?
No, that's a great question. It's a really small amount. You know, it's about, I would say, a handful of agents that are the main ones in this process. You have the odd agent that has a couple of guys, and especially American-wise, there would be a couple of agents that might have a couple guys who were in the NFL and then now have come up to the CFL. But really, it's about a handful. There's one agent in particular who has a bunch on the Ottawa Redblacks. His name is Fred Weinrock. He has Jeremiah Masoli, for example. He has like over 100 guys in the CFL. So there are a handful of agents that are somewhat similar to that. Weinrock has the most, but there are a few like that. Rob Fry would be another guy. He's Nick Arbuckle's agent, for example, to throw out a name. He also has Jake Mayer. So he has a lot of guys in the CFL. So those are two of the major ones in the league right now.
And you mentioned two different agents there, but my understanding is that one agent controls most of the quarterbacks. Is that accurate?
It's a little bit different now. That used to be the case, okay. And that was a guy named Dan Burtley, but now the quarterbacks are kind of being split up between, I would say, multiple guys. There's probably even a handful of agents that have all the starting quarterbacks, whereas it used to really be Dan and his partner, Paul Brown.
Okay, we're talking to Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation. CFL free agency legal tampering begins on Sunday, so just a couple of days away. So there's kind of an overarching storyline to all of this, Justin, in that nobody's quite sure what's going on with ownership in Montreal, and a lot of their big-name players who were free agents kind of have said, I guess I'm up for grabs because there doesn't seem to be anybody interested in signing me here, even though I'd like to re-sign. Eugene Lewis and Trevor Harris being two of the bigger names. So what's your read on the situation, and is it as dire as it seems to be in Montreal?
Those are two of the main ones, and I think they're two separate cases. So let's start with Trevor Harris first and foremost. I think the issue there is that Gary Stern, the minority owner, who's been very vocal and we know tweets a lot, even though it's poor grammar, we try to decipher it and figure out what he's trying to say. He hasn't said much in the way of praise about Harris. Now, I don't think that's something that Harris necessarily cares about, but Stern has been open about praising Vernon Adams Jr., didn't want to trade Vernon Adams Jr., nixed a trade to the Edmonton Elks last year, and then when he was taken out of deciding role, let's say, than they actually were able to trade him to BC. So I think that's a little bit of a factor in what's going on with Trevor Harris. But I think the actual bigger factor with Harris is the fact that he has some leverage, right? But it wasn't too long ago where he didn't have that leverage and he was trying to find a spot and he went to Montreal and was going to compete with Vernon Adams Jr. and see if there was a way where he could become the starting quarterback. Now he knows that he has some leverage because the Saskatchewan Roughriders are desperate for a proven high-end starting quarterback, and Trevor Harris is arguably the only one that could come free in free agency. So I think Harris and his agent know that, and not that they want to break the bank and make it so that the Alouettes can't compete from a salary cap standpoint and be able to sign other players, but they want to get what they believe is their value. So I think that Harris has no issue. You guys have seen him do this before in the nation's capital, potentially deciding to leave if he feels like he's not getting his worth. Geno Lewis, I think, is a bit of a different case in the sense where, from what I've been told, even though I've been talking to Geno Lewis directly, he said he hasn't asked the Alouettes for this much money, but in CFL circles, there are people that will tell you that Lewis wants over $300,000. And that's realistically, even though he's a great high-end CFL All-Star caliber receiver, I don't think that's going to happen on the salary cap this year. Kenny Lawler got that kind of money last year from Edmonton because they struck out on a bunch of other free agents and didn't have to spend that money elsewhere, and they kind of had some free money to be able to pay Lawler. So for as good as Geno Lewis is, I don't necessarily think he can get that kind of money, but it's what he wants, and I don't blame him because I think he is arguably one of the best receivers in the CFL.
Would he not be a perfect fit for the Red Blacks?
It could be a possibility, but I don't know if he would fit into the culture there that Sean Burke and Bob Dice are building, right? Because of some of the things that he's dropped on Twitter and how vocal he's been. And Geno Lewis is actually an interesting case because he did have an agent for his first handful of deals in the CFL, and now he doesn't have an agent. He's representing himself. So he has had multiple one-on-one meetings in person with Danny Machocha because he's still in Montreal at this moment. But I don't necessarily see a fit with the Red Blacks at that kind of a price tag. I think we'd have to come down closer to the $200,000 range if he was going to be in Ottawa.
With Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation, and you guys have been writing about various free agent topics and ranking guys that are available, et cetera, for weeks now. In terms of the Red Blacks, and they've signed a number of their own free agents, Justin, but still several that are unsigned, and maybe they're going to move on from. Is there a guy or two that are on your list from other teams that you think would be good fits, and that you've heard or you think the Red Blacks would be interested in?
That's a great question. I think first and foremost for the Red Blacks, they got to figure out the backup quarterback position. Caleb Evans is a free agent. Nick Arbuckle is a free agent of their own. There are some people that feel like maybe Dane Evans could come down the highway and be a backup there. But I think that's a long ways towards being figured out, because if Trevor Harris stays in Montreal, then I think the Rough Riders would really want to go after Dane Evans. And Evans is going to want a chance to start, which he's not going to get in Ottawa. So I think first and foremost, I'm going to figure out that backup quarterback position because it's so important. And I think a guy like Nick Arbuckle could make some sense in staying there. Caleb Evans had some flashes, but both of those guys are probably going to want raises or at least be paid with some bonus incentives if they got the chance to play, if Jeremiah Masoli got hurt again. But outside of that, you can see that offensive line has been made a priority. Last year, it wasn't free agency. Drew Desjarlais, they go out and spend big money on. And I think that means that they're going to move on from Darius Sirocco and Hunter Stewart and essentially just move that money over to Desjarlais. So then I think it turns to looking at a playmaker. And you brought up Geno Lewis before, and I don't necessarily know if that's the guy that fits the mold, but I think they're going to want to look to add some playmakers around Jeremiah Masoli and potentially get better at pass rusher. Now, part of the reason why last year they maybe weren't as good is because Kwaku Boateng was out with an injury the entire year, one of their big free agent acquisitions. So I think they'll check in on his health, but I think they could look at a pass rushing group that has some intriguing options. And if you look at a guy like Calgary Stampeders pending free agent Florian Ormalade, he could be a guy that's really intriguing, although I think he's probably headed to Toronto and that pipeline of Stampeders former players that are making their way to the Argonauts, but there are some intriguing talents at pass rusher available, and I think Ottawa could look at that as well.
What do you think of Desjarlais as far as a player, the contract, and I guess how he'll fit here in Ottawa?
First of all, as a player, the dude is an absolute mauler, and people around the league will tell you that he is the best offensive lineman in the league, regardless of his passport. It doesn't matter that he's Canadian. So that's a bonus from the ratio perspective. And I actually like the contract, even though some people feel like it's overpaying for an offensive lineman, because of the reason that I just said. Darius Rocco won't be back. Neither will Hunter Stewart. They have Cyril Hogan, Sando, that will start at center, who's on a rookie contract. So that allows you to pay Desjarlais this type of money for a couple of years, guys. And it's the money that he was commanding around the league. He turned down more money from other teams to sign with the Red Blacks because he felt like he was wanted there. He likes what they're building. He actually got to meet Jeremiah Masoli as part of the recruiting that the Red Blacks put on. So I think he's really in on what Sean Burke is doing there. So overall, I really like the signing. Great high-end player. He's in his mid-20s. So much of great quality football left in him. And you paid him well, but you didn't necessarily pay him what other people were offering. So I think that speaks to what the Red Blacks are doing in terms of recruiting players and how they're viewed, despite their record a year ago, in this upward trajectory under Sean Burke and Bob Dice.
Well, after three really bad seasons, we're ready for some better football here in Ottawa for sure. Montreal appears to be a bit of a gong show. Hamilton has gone, has had the talent. They've gone with Bo Levi Mitchell. Interesting that the defending Grey Cup champion Argonauts have some, well, all teams. They always have a million free agents every year, Justin, because of the way the free agency works. But they've got huge questions at quarterback. From what I read, and you can correct me, McLeod Bethel-Thompson still kind of weighing his options as to whether he wants to retire or not. And then you've got Chad Kelly, who we saw in the Grey Cup game, but is he ready to be a full-time starter? And we all know, I mean, you can't win the CFL. You don't have any quarterbacking. So what's going to happen, do you believe, with the Argonauts and the quarterback position?
That situation with Thompson is still up in the air, and I think he's going to take his time with it. I don't think he's going to feel rushed by free agency in that February 14th date, even though ideally from an Argonauts management perspective, they're going to want to have some sort of an idea, but I think it's very much still up in the air. And, you know, at some point there's going to have to be a decision made by the Argos. And if they do go with Chad Kelly, they're going to want to have a veteran there to either compete with Kelly or back him up to help him along the way. Because I think that's part of the reason why Chad Kelly was able to look so good so quickly, is he was able to be around McLeod Bethel-Thompson. So I've been monitoring that situation with McBeth, as he's known throughout the league. And I am one of the people that think that if Chad Kelly is given the reins there in Toronto, that he could play well, that he could actually potentially, dare I say, boost interest in the Argos in Toronto, which we all know isn't very much. It could certainly be higher. And we see that from the traffic on Three Down Nation. Anytime we write about Chad Kelly, mm-hmm. the pieces are very well read due to the relationship. He's a nephew of Jim Kelly, of course, was a Hall of Fame quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. So that's a situation to monitor, because I think we'll get an idea. If they don't get an answer from McLeod Bethel-Thompson by free agency, then they could go looking for a veteran or another quarterback to bring in with Chad Kelly.
With the instability in the East, could we see a scenario, if this goes properly, or from what you've already seen with the Red Blacks, both with staff and players, where they could go from worst to first?
We've seen it before, and I think the Red Blacks would be one of those teams that could pull it off. Right? There's some stability in the coaching staff now. They've been with these players at least through the end of the season, and you're going to bring in Kahari Jones. I think he'll get on the same page quickly with Jeremiah Masoli. And Masoli in particular showed that he could learn a new offense very quickly last year and come out absolutely firing. So I think the key for the Red Blacks this year is going to be finish, especially early in the season when Masoli was healthy. They were in those ball games, and it's one thing to compete, but ultimately you're judged by wins and losses. So they're going to have to finish with wins. And I think there is a possibility, because the East is in so much flux. That said, the Argos are the two-time defending East Division champions, at least in the regular season. So I think you got to take that title away from them before you start thinking about going worst to first.
All right, good stuff. CFL free agency starts officially on Valentine's Day, but legal tampering begins Sunday at noon, Justin Dunk will be all over it as part of Three Down Nation. You can find his work at threedownnation.com. Really always appreciate the time and the insight, Justin, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.